the president of Bob Jones University, Dr. Stephen Jones.
That from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. The word there, able to make thee wise unto salvation, the word able could be translated capable or strong or powerful. This book is not like every other book. It's different from every other book. Hebrews chapter 4 makes it clear that this book, Scripture, is alive. It is powerful. It is dynamite. It has a power that's its own. Not something you bring to Scripture, but something God has infused Scripture with. Because it is His breath, His mind, His heart set down for us. We have something powerful. Therefore, we should continue in it.
God's Word, the Bible, is settled, reliable, and secure, and is God's blueprint for the believer as he deals with every challenge, conflict, and decision of life. Today, Dr. Jones continues his series of messages entitled, Putting Feet to the Truth. He's taken his text from 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse 14. Here now is the president of Bob Jones University, Dr. Stephen Jones.
If you would please turn today to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now we're in what's called the information age. The interesting thing about that is, as there's more information, it's harder to keep up with, impossible to keep up with. People are revamping their opinions daily. The people who are putting out the information, therefore those of us who are consuming the information, are constantly trying to keep up with it and to change it to be, you know, the most current or whatever. And the downside is that we're living in an era where people are more gullible than they've ever been. Where they don't reach their own conclusions, they follow whatever the newest thing is. The flip side of that, the sad side, is that there are perfectly good positions that they held, perfectly true positions they held, that because something new comes along, they imply that they impute to it greater credibility, believability, authority. And so they change their position to something that is false. It's something that the sociologist, the psychologist, the scientists, they're going to revamp the next time they do a study. It's the downside of it, that very often there is a doubt of the truth known, and I think it actually kind of inculcates this, a doubt of the truth held, because of uncertainty that is it going to change. But you know what? As believers, we don't have that doubt. What God has said for us is forever settled in heaven, and we can bank our life on its truths. As we come to know, to understand Scripture, we can bank on it and therefore live it, because it won't change like that. Now, people who know truth but are unaffected by it, let me give you this illustration. This is a lady named Felice. Don't know her last name, thankfully. Don't know where she lives. She actually appeared on Oprah to tell this story. And sometimes it's amazing what people will share on national television. Lives the life of a big house in the burbs, 3 new cars, 6 beautiful kids, and spending way beyond her husband's $5,000 a month salary. This lady likes coffee, can't blame her for that, but she drops $400 a month at Starbucks, in spite of the fact that she is hopelessly in debt. Every month she spends $240 on tanning and manicures, and her 6 children, they don't even have health insurance because of this spending. She says, and I quote, "I have 6 kids and I sell their toys sometimes just because I don't like them. When money runs dry, as it often does, she takes out cash advances. And then, because she handles the family's finances, she hides the receipts and under even baby blankets in a drawer. She says, when I do shop, I get a kind of rush. It makes me feel good, but afterwards, though, I get depressed. I'll buy something even if I really don't like it because I have to come out of the store with something." And that is the problem that has led to this family being on the brink of financial destruction. They have $135,000 in credit card debt. $135,000 of debt $1,700 a month they're paying on three cars. Two mortgages they hold at $685,000. 2 weeks behind on that mortgage payment for those two houses. And before, you know, I put all the blame on Felice, her husband is just as culpable for not asking questions, for not watching the finances to be sure that things add up. He says that he'll even look at the credit card bill, and he doesn't know where $10,000 came from, but he won't ask about it. Now, that's amazing. But it's kind of spiritually true of many of us, too many of us. Now, they see a credit card bill, something in print that is true, that is owed, but they live completely unaffected by it. You see each day what is eternally true. You know the conviction of it as the Holy Spirit points his finger at areas of your heart or life that are not what God says they must be for the believer. But we close it and we go away and we live based on our own opinion, our own feelings, our own whim, the pressure from others, our peers, or whatever, when we have truth that we must heed. Now, the Christian, we don't have to be tossed around. We don't have to be chasing the newest piece of information, the newest fad. We can be stable. You can be confident. You can be settled and secure. And you know what? That is going to be all the brighter light to the world. The darker our world becomes, the more, without any kind of religious, philosophical moorings others have, the more it's going to shine when someone says, "I have truth," and they live it consistently and unfazed by the fads. Now, this morning, I want to get to the first part of something. And to boil this down, the truth of this passage would be this: that God's role in giving the Bible guarantees that you and I, we have already all that we need for life and godliness. God's role in giving the Bible guarantees that you have all you need and all you're going to need for every challenge, for every conflict, for every sorrow, for every decision and choice of life. God's role in giving the Bible guarantees that we have all we need. Look, if you would, with me at 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 14. "But continue thou in the things that which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished or thoroughly equipped unto all good works." Four verses here. This morning we're going to get through two of them, verses 14 and 15. I'll have to get to verses 16 and 17 another day. But these four verses as a whole guarantee us, give us the confidence that God's role in giving us the scriptures gives us security, confidence, that we have all we need and are going to need for life. Now, these first two verses, verses 14 and 15, teach this truth. Because of God's role in giving the Bible, you must continue in its teachings. You and I must continue in its teachings. We can't be chasing the newest thing that scientists throw up on the internet or whatever else. We don't continually be chasing that. We must continue in the teachings of Scripture. Verses 14 and 15 again. "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Many of you had the privilege to grow up in Christian homes, and from infancy, you were being taught biblical principle, starting to memorize scripture verses from your earliest days. And there is the tendency, the sinful tendency, to disparage that, to begin to think, you know what, that's not enough for what's ahead. That was fine for the past, perhaps, if you're not already embittered about that because of your sinful response to it. But it's not for my future. But because of God's role in giving the Bible, you and I must continue in its teachings. The setting for this passage: Paul, who is telling his preacher boy, his son in the faith, Timothy, to continue in the things that he had learned? What is the setting around Timothy? What's the setting around us today? Because this chapter starts off giving the fact that the longer we go, the closer to Christ's return it comes, things are going to wax worse and worse. The world is not improving. Those who think it is, those who are aiming for it too, that's a good thing, but it's not realistic. Just look at the front page of the newspaper each day. We were talking about the front page of the Wall Street Journal today. It's not improving anywhere. And this passage makes it clear it won't. Look up at verse 13, where it says very clearly, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So what is the surrounding? That those around us, those who don't know Christ, they're going to be deceiving others, leading them astray, but that they themselves are deceived. Being deceived, blinded by Satan, blinded by sin. Now, those aren't folks to follow. So, Christian, don't make it your consuming desire to keep up with it, to follow it, to believe it, to know what's the newest thing, because it is going to get worse, that people who are deceived themselves will be deceiving others and leading them astray. That's the setting. Look back at verse 7. Speaking of the climate, the setting, people who are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They're always seeking after the next thing. And if you look at the bookstore, the trends that come, the newest authority on the fad diet, the newest authority on whatever environmental issue or political issue. You go through the presidential debates, and our society is one that not thinking for themselves and not having any grounding in eternal truth. They hear one candidate speak and they say, ooh, that makes sense, I believe it. But give them 2 minutes and the next candidate will speak and they'll say, ooh, that was a good point, I think I believe it. And then it happens again and again. That is the world around us, always pursuing knowledge, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. The setting, shared again in chapter 4, look at verses 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Christian young person, this is the world around us, and it is only going to become more like this. So get this thought in your mind. This is scriptural truth. The world around you has nothing to offer. And you know what? Tomorrow or 5 years down the road or 10 years down the road, they will have even less to offer. Because it is getting worse and worse, the deception of their mind and the deceitfulness of their living and their desire to deceive others. It is getting worse, not better. But in the midst of that, the Christian can live a different life. It should not be like that in the church. First Christian shouldn't even be following that. It's not an enviable position to be in, following people who are self-deceived and to be deceived by them. It should not be that way among believers. How should it be? Very clearly, continue thou in the things that you have learned. Be confident, young person. If you came from a home where you learned this from the start, you don't have to doubt. You don't have to fear when somebody comes along, some archaeologist comes along and says, they've discovered something that has proved something untrue from the Old Testament or the New Testament. Just wait. The Bible's true. And there have been numerous ones in the past who have said that only to find out that that king did exist, that that city did exist, that that atoll, that hill, truly is the place where a battle was fought. Just wait. You have truth. Continue in the things that you have learned. If you grew up under this kind of instruction, you have the gift of reliable instruction. The words which thou hast learned or have learned, the word there, the Greek word, is the root of the word to disciple. He had been given information. You have been given information, inspired information, that's completely different from the information that's out there in that latest book or on the web today. That's just the trend. Inspired information with the intent that you take it, incorporate it, and live it. Continue in the things that you have learned, the information in which you have been discipled, the revelation you have received. You've been given it. And you have the assurance of it. You see that in the last part of verse 14? Things that thou hast learned, and then the next phrase, and hast been assured of. Let me ask you, young person, is there a point in your life where you were assured of these things? Where you knew it was more than the word on the page? Just like, you know, some word on the page in one of Mark Twain's books. It was completely different from that. This is something that you can be assured of and put confidence in and gamble. And it's not a gamble because it's faith. But you can stake your life on it and never have a regret. Because it is something that Timothy had learned from the start and had come to personal conviction about, assurance of the gift of reliable instruction. There may have been a time in your life when you had the faith of a child. And when you are dealing with a Christian young person, you know, a 9-year-old, 10-year-old, to see their faith, you know, they don't go about worrying what scientists are going to say or anything else. They know it's true. They believe it. And they're staking their life on it happily. But again, the older we get, the more we're influenced by those things around us to our detriment. But these are things which they had learned and had been assured of personally. Have you been assured of these personally? You should be. And that is the purpose of Scripture, to give you that assurance. The gift of reliable instruction, you see also here in verse 14, the gift of trustworthy mentors. Look at the last phrase. Knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Whom, as Dr. McAllister pointed out the other day, is plural. Probably was directly referring to Timothy's grandmother Lois, his mother Eunice. Both believers, though his father was an unsaved Greek man. But his grandmother and mother had poured their lives into him. The faith they passed along to him. The scriptures that they indoctrinated him in from the start, from his earliest days. The gift of trustworthy mentors. Verse 15 makes it clear that this was from the earliest days. You see there the first phrase, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. The word child there means from infancy, or it's even used in reference to unborn children. So it means that from the earliest days, his mother and grandmother were pouring this scriptural instruction into him. Their prayers, their souls, their lives, if they could, they were pouring into him with the intent that it become his, that he take it as his own in faith. And there are those who have come alongside you and me, who have poured themselves into us, and have more than that, poured the scriptures into us. That is a gift, young person. If you come from a Christian home, the proper response is not bitterness about it. And you can focus on shortcomings. You can in your home because your parents are imperfect. I could in my home because my parents are imperfect. But you know what? When you have a home, you're going to be imperfect. And your children will have the same choice that you have to become embittered about those imperfections and discard everything true about it. Or to embrace what's true and to say, you know what? I have my failures too. And if my parents are growing and being changed from day to day, that's the most any of us can hope for. Becoming more like Christ each day. And I need to as well. It's a gift. And there are many in this congregation who didn't have that gift. And their testimony to you, and I hope those of you who didn't come from homes like this will share openly with others what you did come from and the fact how much you desired and wish you had come from a home like this, where people were pouring truth into you from the earliest days, where you didn't have the scars of sin that you have now because of the protective, godly, biblical environment that surrounded you. That is a gift. Junior hire, don't be bitter about it. Academy student, don't take it lightly. That is a gift from the hand of God to you. Be thankful. University student, the same. That is a gift of godly mentors, knowing of whom you have learned them. And Paul says, you know what? Because of the people, the character of the people who loved you, you should continue in the truth that you received. Now, you know, that's not the only reason you believe the scripture, because of the people who taught you, but you do have to count that. You can't discount it. According to Paul's own instruction, that is part of Timothy. Look at them. No one will ever love you like your parents have. No one will ever wrap you up and desire the best for you like a parent does. There's a kind of love that you will understand only after God gives you children. That you would not ever choose anything that would bring them harm. You wish you could just buffer their life, to protect them every second, that they never have the scar of sin, that they never make the wrong choice and feel the punishment for those wrong choices. That's the love of a parent. Don't take that lightly. Especially Christian young person, don't despise that. That is a God's gift to you. Thank God if you have such person and parents. And don't be hasty to cast it aside. That's what Paul is saying. Timothy, don't be hasty to cast it aside. Now, young person, you do have to make your beliefs your own. They have to be your own. But as you go through that process, don't be overly hasty to say, you know what, everything old is waste. Just the conclusions I reach. Start from the assumption that these people have been pouring themselves into you with biblical truth, that there is a reason for their conviction that they have reached. Don't underestimate their wisdom. And young person, something important for all of us who are younger to remember, don't overestimate yours. Scripture says, Proverbs says, foolishness is beaten out of the heart of a child. It is a process, and there is growth. There is growth in all of us. Don't overestimate your wisdom. And don't be quick to throw aside what you have been instructed in from Scripture. You have the gift of reliable instruction, the gift of trustworthy mentors, and then the gift of something powerful. And this will be the closing thought this morning. Verse 15, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. The gift of something powerful. The word there, able to make thee wise unto salvation, the word able could be translated capable or strong or powerful. This book is not like every other book. It's different from every other book. Hebrews chapter 4 makes it clear that this book, Scripture, is alive. It is powerful. Young person, it is dynamite. That's the root word of this word in English, able. It is dynamic. It is powerful. It has a power that's its own. Not something you bring to Scripture, but something God has infused Scripture with. Because it is His breath, His mind, His heart set down for us. We have something powerful. Therefore, we should continue in it. And keep this in mind. The Scripture Paul is talking about to Timothy, did he have the New Testament Scriptures that we have? They weren't written yet. At the point of that this is going down, this is Scripture being inspired. But Timothy had this letter from Paul, and he had the Old Testament Scriptures. And Paul is saying, you know what? Those Old Testament Scriptures you have, don't throw them aside. Continue in them, because they are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Christian, think about that. That's talking about Old Testament Scriptures. What is their purpose? Knowledge? We've dealt with that this year. Is it just so you have, you know, mental coat hooks that you can hang stuff on in the future? No, it's not just knowledge. It is meant for a purpose, to make you wise, and that is applied knowledge, wisdom for living, skill in living. And even the Old Testament, its purpose is to make you wise to salvation, to show you God's holiness, your accountability before Him, your sinfulness and my sinfulness. What is the sentence upon us? That's clear in the Old Testament. It is death. The soul that sinneth, Ezekiel 18 says, it shall die. That's the sentence upon all who've sinned. And it's found in the Old Testament all the way through to the New Testament. And to make it clear that God will accept a substitute, but that we need, mankind needs a perfect substitute that was not seen in the pages of the Old Testament Scripture, but was clearly pointed to as they looked forward in faith to the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. Now, young person, quick application here. When you hear a preacher announce an Old Testament text, do you roll your eyes and think, you know what, that's irrelevant? That wasn't Paul's view. It certainly wasn't Christ's view, who quoted Deuteronomy more in the New Testament than any other writer of the New Testament or speaker in the New Testament. It shouldn't be your view or mine. Even the Old Testament Scriptures, their purpose was to make us wise unto salvation through faith, a personal faith in Jesus Christ. And again, it comes not to knowledge, because you can read it, and people do read it, and remain unchanged, unsaved. But to put faith, personal faith in Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. What's your attitude toward the Scriptures? Are they just something you read and are forced to read or to hear here in chapel and in your classes? Or have you exercised personal faith in Jesus Christ and become his child? Christian young person, what's your attitude toward your parents and the instruction you receive from them? According to Paul here, knowing their heart for you, knowing their character, you should continue in the things that you taught them. Now, how to put feet to that truth? One way, if you have grown bitter against those Christian parents and the instruction that they have given you, the convictions they had, the protections they put around you, the expectations they had for you, a way to put feet to the truth that you've heard from 2 Timothy 3:14 and 15, go home, call them, and say, thank you. Go home, call them, and say, forgive me for my arrogance as a child who counted your wisdom as light, who overestimated my wisdom, who challenged what you were teaching me. Thank you for being a godly mentor. Thank you for giving me the gift of trustworthy instruction from Scripture. Thank you for exposing me to something powerful, something that will keep me from being driven about by every wind and wave of knowledge that comes about. Thank you. And this morning, thank God, because his role in giving you the Scriptures and giving me the Scriptures guarantees that this, that we have everything we will ever need for life. Continue in it. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, it is alive and powerful. We pray that this day we would invest ourselves in knowing you through your word, and that you would continue to change us to be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to continue in what we have heard. Help us to be changed by it and to act upon it, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
As we delight in searching God's word, may we learn to infuse its revelation of Jesus Christ with our daily walk as we put feet to the truth of the gospel. Today's message was preached by the president of Bob Jones University, Dr. Stephen Jones. Today's Christian Preacher is a quarterly magazine designed to help the man of God in his personal life. It covers issues of personal importance, such as integrity, finances, time management, and family values. Today's Christian Preacher is sent free of charge to those in the ministry, as well as to those who are preparing for ministry. Your pastor can register for a free subscription by calling us toll-free at 1-866-BJU-RADIO. Again, that's 1-866-BJU-RADIO. Or visit our website at bjuradio.com. And while you're there, the BJU Radio website has information about other helpful resources for you and your family. Or you can write us at BJ Radio, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Thanks for joining us today, and we invite you to be listening next week for a recent message by the Executive Vice President Emeritus of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Wood, on Chapel Echoes, an outreach ministry of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina.